want to tell you something. God's a chain breaker. You want to say amen? I want to talk about today. We're beginning a new series. Good morning, Saddleback. Good morning, Centerpoint. I was listening to a sermon this morning from Rick Warren. You need to know, I need to get preached at, and so I listened to the podcast, and I was listening to the pastor in Southern California preach this morning, and that's what he said. But I want to make sure you guys know, this series of messages we're starting today is an eight-week series, and it's really a burden of mine because I love you guys, and I know life is hard. I know life because I'm in the same life. All right, I face the same battles you face. I face the same struggles you face. I face the same frustrations you face. Just because I'm a preacher doesn't mean, hey, I don't have any problem. He's the preacher. You know, I've got issues, lots of issues. But I got a picture here. Is this picture right here? I have this picture here. Anybody ever play this game? Whack-a-mole? Come on. You know, Chuck E. Cheese, anybody go to, you know, you go to, you know, you beat these things down as they pop up. You know, you beat one down. As soon as you get that one down, two of them pop up, right? You know, you get two, then three. It's a game you cannot win. Anybody, you just, no matter how many you hit down, another one's going to pop up. Well, that's kind of an allegory, kind of an illustration of our lives. Do you ever feel like that in your life? That you just get handle one problem, and guess what? Another problem. Anybody ever feel like that? You know, it's just like this whack-a-mole thing. It's like, I just beat that one down. Now I got to do this. And then you get that one down, and then two pop up. You know, how do we go through life with all these things in our life? How do we deal with these struggles in our lives? I got some things. Maybe you want to write one of these down. I'm going to encourage you to get your little outline out. You may want to write one of these down. Because what I want to ask you this morning is one of these yours? All right. Let me read off some of these whack-a-moles that might be in your, maybe one of these you face in your life as you're dealing with different things and as you're wrestling through life. Are there some things for you that are causing you problems? Anybody have stress? Anybody got anxiety? Anybody got fear? Anybody overworked? Anybody have too much time? Anybody have some attractions that probably are not healthy attractions? Anybody got some addictions? Some diets? Anybody got some worry? Does any of these touch base with anybody? You know, as we go through depression, anger. You whack one of these moles down and another one pops up. You know, I dealt with my anxiety and now I'm having a panic attack. Anybody? You know, it just seemed thing after another and you wrestle with these things and you wonder what's going on. And so what I want to do is, you know, you play that whack-a-mole game. Can you win this game? Can you? Can you really win this game? You know, if you go to check, you get tickets, but you never win. You know? And so here's what you got to do, and here's what I want to do with this game for us today. How do we unplug? How do we unplug these things in our life? How can we get rid of these things? And what do we do? Because most of us want to change. Most of us don't like these things in our life. And yet they're still there. And John and Paul wrestle with this. I want to make sure you get a picture because we're not different than anyone else. Even Paul, you know, Paul would probably be considered one of the greatest saints of all time, right? You know, started most of the churches, wrote the Bible, very significant individual. This is what Paul says. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but sin living in me. For I know what is that it good. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that it is my sinful nature. For I have a desire what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Does anybody identify with that? You know what you should do, and yet you can't do it. You know what you need to take place, but you don't. Let me ask. Have you ever known you have to get up early in the morning and you stay up late? Anybody? Maybe Saturday night you stayed up late and you're going to sleep through church, right?
You know you want to lose some weight, but you just want to eat what you want to eat. You know that you shouldn't make that commitment because you know you're not going to be able to keep that commitment, but you make it anyways. Anybody ever? Well, if I stretch and if I run real quick, I've done that one, you know. You know, if I'm fast over here, I can make it over here. I'll do it. Anybody? How through life and all this stuff just keeps popping up. It's one thing after another thing. And why? What's the cause of the problem? What's the essence of all this stuff going on in our lives? Paul's sitting there saying, I don't understand. I don't get it. What's going on? So here's what I put down here. What is the cause of all these problems? You're trying to play God. You know, you're trying to be... How many here in life all figured out you know what you need to do, right? You got all worked out. You know what you're going to do later today. You know what all this week. You got life all figured out. You got life all worked out. You got it all planned out. I'm ready. We play God. Now, I'm sure you're going to sit there and say, I never played God in my life, right? You never played God, right? Have you ever did something that you knew God didn't want, and yet you went ahead and did it? You know, when you do things... I want things. What was that commercial? I have it your way. Because see, we know more than God. I know what's going to make me happy. I know what I need to do. I know what I should be doing. Anybody on board with? Anybody ever wrestle with these kinds of things in our lives? Because we get it all worked out. We get it all figured out. And here's what we're going to do. You know, and so it's about us. We know better. I know what I need to do. I know what I should be doing. God, I know you said sex is for marriage, but God, I know what I need to do. This, it's a different time, God. That's old, God. You know, God, I know I shouldn't lie, so I'm just going to stretch the truth, God. Anybody? No, we all these things, we know better. Oh, and God just, you know, God needs to be updated. We need God 2.0. Anybody? You know, and we wrestle with these things. And so when we do that, guess what? We're saying, I'm God. I'm the God of my life because I know what I need to do. Doesn't matter what God says. I know what's best. Anybody here know what's best? We wrestle with these things. Listen to what it right here in Ezekiel. I love what he said here. Son of man, say to the ruler of Tyre, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In the pride of your heart, why don't you circle that word pride? In the pride of your heart, you say, I am a God. I sit on the throne of a God in the heart of the seas. But you are mere mortal and not a God, though you think you are as wise as God. Don't you? I love that. God, I got life all figured out. Yeah. I tell you what, I was so much smarter when I was 15 years old than I am today. Because I had, at 15 years old, I had life all figured out. 16 years old, got my car, 64 Mustang convertible. I've got life all figured out. We get life all figured out. And what I'm saying, and when we say that, we're really saying, I'm God. I know what's best for me. God, I don't need you to tell me. I don't need you to give me some direction. I don't need to know what you think because I've got it all figured out. And then we walk through life with stress and anxiety and anger and broken relationships. Am I hitting anywhere? And financial struggle. And depression and panic attack. And we walk through life with all this stuff going on, but we got life all figured out. See, pride gets in the way because I got this all figured out. And I'm sure you heard the saying, pride comes before the... Some of you said it, the fall. Listen to what it says, Proverbs 29:23. Pride will ruin people, but those who are humble will be honored. Pride will ruin you. Pride will take you down the wrong path. Pride will lead you the wrong way. Pride will give you the wrong decisions. And we need to see that. And so here's what I wrote here. What is the cure for all these problems? Being humble. Being humble. Here's what I want you to know. For the next 8 weeks, we're about how to be humble. It's real simple. Because here's the situation. I read off all those things, and if you're like me, there's probably three or four you could mark, right? And if you could fix those, and if you were God, you'd have fixed them by now, right? If you're God, why are you dealing with them right now? If you got it all worked out, why do you have these issues then? I mean, you're God. You got it all figured out. You don't need God. And what it's saying, listen, I got to humble myself. Now, I say this week in and week out. You've heard me. You hear it like this. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them your way. Come into my life and take control. Isn't that humility? See, and that's what we're saying. We need to realize I've got life all figured out, and I'm in trouble. I know what I should be doing. And even when I know what I should be doing, I don't do it. Is that what Paul said? Even when I know what's right, I know the right thing to do. I know I got to get up early tomorrow morning, but the other night, last Sunday, my granddaughter up in Washington was texting me at 12:30 at night. All right? And she's texting me, and we get into this battle on the. She texts something, I text something. Because, you know, I am for my grandkids, just so you know, and so you know for you guys too, I'm Gary the Great, right? You know, and so my granddaughter and I are having these words about being practically perfect, and, you know, I'm just bantering with my granddaughter till 1 o'clock in the morning. And I got to get up, because it's Saturday night, and I got to get up Sunday morning, and guess where I got to be? So I figure I'll just sleep in, right? How many of you ever, you know what you need to do, and yet you don't? I need to exercise. Anybody? Don't raise your hand. You know? I know what I need to do, but doing it, right? So how do we deal with this? And that's what I want us to think about. So for the next 8 weeks, we're going to look at what Jesus preached in. Because here's the problem. People think what they need to do, so you know what they do? To go get a self-help book. You know, right? You know, I'll just read How to Deal with Depression. How to Deal with Anxiety. How to Lose Weight. I'm good at reading books on how to lose weight. I can read them. You know? I'm just going to go right down the road here, and there's a little house on this corner over here, and I'll just go and wash my hand up, and I'll just see. I'll let her read my palm. Or maybe I'll just open the newspaper up and I'll find that little page there somewhere that says horoscopes. And I'll read my horoscope and I'll get life all figured out. Right? This is our world. And so we're going to talk about what Jesus said. How do we unplug this? How do I, instead of just keep whacking, because you know, you read that good, that self-help book, and it teaches you how to whack moles faster. Do it this way, and you'll get fat. But guess what? More is going to pop up. So I want to talk about, how do you unplug that? How do you disconnect from just going around just fighting these battles? Every, you know, today it's this, and tomorrow it's this, and the next day it's back to that. And am I off base anywhere in here? How do we deal with this? And Jesus comes along and one of the greatest sermons, I'm not even going to say one of the greatest. How about I'm going to say it this way. The greatest sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. All right. Jesus had an audience. He sits on the side of this mountain and he begins to teach. And he starts off right here with this. Blessed are, we call these the Beatitudes. and is blessed. If you have a different translation, the first word there might be happy. You know, I think it's the Living Bible says happy. Happy is this, because that's literally what that word means, blessed. It literally means happy. And so Jesus, how do you be happy? You know what I found out this week? I heard this, but I heard somebody else talk about it, so I went online and I Googled it. 70% of people hate their jobs. You might be here, part of that 70. 70, I'm going, you got to be kidding me. Now, honestly, I don't always love my job. There's things I've had to do and been, and, you know, right now I'm making some visits. Somebody's got brain cancer, is passing away, and I'm ministering to the family. That's hard. It's not something I enjoy, but I want to minister. But 70%, and what was so interesting, America's on the low side. You get out of America, and they're talking as high as 90% of people hate their job. How do you go through life? How do you go through when you just can't? What do you do? And so we're going to look at these Beatitudes. We've got 8 weeks of them. He gave us 8, so we're going to go right through these as we go through them. And we're going to look at them. Here's the first one. It says this: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, he didn't say blessed are the poor. All right? I'm going to be honest. I don't think it's blessed to be poor. Anybody on board with me? You know, he's not talking finances. All right? He says blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Now, he's not talking about being poor in the Holy Spirit. All right? I'm going to tell you what he's saying. He's saying blessed are those who are humble. Can I say it that way? That's what he's talking about. I'm poor in spirit. It's not about my pride. It's not about me. It's not about me having everything all worked out. It's about me humbling myself in God. And so how do we do that? And so just 3 quick points, and I want to go through these rather quickly here. The first one, it says it this way. To be poor in spirit, I must humbly admit I need help. Now, how many are going to be like me, who hates to admit I have weaknesses? Because Gary is perfect. Ask my granddaughter. You know, we don't want to say we have flaws. We don't want to say we have problems. We want to have good lives. What do you see on Facebook? All the good things in life, man, the best pictures, you know. I went to this place, and you're going, boy, I wish I had their life. But then you get to know them, and you're going, whoa, they have problems like I have. Matter of fact, they got bigger problems than I have. Because it's always, you know what's always nice? Is your problems are always worse than mine. Mine are little ones. You guys got to get See, the first step to getting well and the first step to being happy is to realize I have problems. I've got issues. This is one thing that I've always struggled with for me, because I just flat out say this. I tell people, I can be a jerk. I can. You know? I can be a pain in somebody's rear end, okay? I can admit I have it. I've never had, you know, that's like I said, I've always felt blessed in this church because I, you know, they didn't, you know, I'm not on some pedestal as a pastor because you guys know my flaws. If you get in my car, you will learn them real fast. I'm not going to hide them. You know, this is who I am now, you know. But we need to do that. I don't like admitting I have problems. I went to visit somebody this week. They were in the doctor's office. We're walking with a nurse out to the thing, and I'm going, I haven't been to the doctor in 2 years. And I need to get my blood pressure medicine redone. So guess what I got to do? I don't want to go to the doctor. I'm going to go to the doctor. Now, most guys, now, maybe ladies, you might be not identified with this. Don't take your wife. Guys, don't take your wife. Because you'll sit there, and the doctor says, you got anything to say? And I'll go, no. And Laura will go, yes. And Laura, fill the doctor in. I've sat in the emergency room saying, everything's fine, everything's a go. He says, well, you want me to do this? I go, no, I don't need this. And Laura goes, yes. He goes, okay, we're going to do it. I said, no. He goes, I'm going to listen to your wife. Because we don't want to admit we have issues, right? I don't have any issues. I don't have any problems. I don't have any struggles. You know, I'm not stressed. Have you ever had dissipation in a car? You're angry. No, I'm not angry. Yeah, you're. No, I'm not angry. Anybody ever get in that conversation? You know? See, we don't like admitting we have problems. We need help. The first thing to getting well is saying, I have a problem. You know, I'm stressed all the time. I'm overworked. I got anxiety. I got finance. I got broken relationships. I got depression. I've got a problem. Gary, you have an anger issue when you're in the car. Laura reminds me every time, can you just shut up, Gary? You know, Laura doesn't like getting in the car riding with me because it's just, he gets up. And I get it, but I can't help it. Why do I do what I do not want to do and what I don't know. Paul, it's Paul's fault. So if you're going to get well and you want to be happy, you've got to be humble enough. You got to put pride aside. And you got to say, I have an issue. And you got to identify your problem. You got to say, this is where my battle is. This is where my struggle is. Here's what God says about it. That he, God, gives us more grace. That is why the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. You got to be humble enough to admit you got an issue. You got a problem. You got to swallow that pride and you got to step up and say, God, I need some help. You got to admit it. He said, I'm going to give you grace. And grace says this, I'm going to take care of you even though you're messed up. You ever go to the doctor? Doctor says, oh, you got too many problems. I need to see. You need to see. I'm not going to take care of you. Anybody ever go? No, the doctor's going to, you know, hey. But God's open. He says, come on. Problems and all, issues and all. Come on, you need more grace. I got more to give. Come on in. And we need to see this in our lives. We need to hear what God wants to do. And I want to make sure you understand something. You're not going to do this on willpower. You know, because I'm going to tell you something. If you could solve your problems with willpower, you'd have solved all your problems by now, right? I mean, if you could do it, why are you having them? If it's just willpower, why? See, we're all broken. And we need to admit that. You know, like I said, one of the things that really dawned on me in the last series and conversation was to realize I'd often talk about the broken world out there. The world's broken out there. The world's broken out there. Well, the fact is, guess what? I'm in here and I'm broken. And how do you take two broken people and create a perfect marriage? It works well. How do you take two broken people and have great relationships? You think there might be a little need for grace that Paul's talking about? See, we need to admit this. Because if you don't and you won't, you're going to pay the price. Here, listen to what it says. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Then he skips on to verse 5. It goes, finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. My guilt is gone. You got to step up and say, you know what, God, I have issues. I'm going to ask you, how's hiding working for you? And here's a big thing. You think you're hiding it? But talk to your close friends. Ask your friends, hey, what about, and they're going, oh yeah, I knew that. It's not a surprise. See, we hide things and they eat away at us and they chew at us and they destroy us from the inside out. And that's what we do in our lives. We pretend it's okay. I don't want, this is one of my prayers. I don't want people coming to church pretending. Don't come in. If you're hurting, come on in and tell me you're hurting. I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you. I want to be there for you. You know, this isn't a place to pretend. This is a place to come for healing. All right? That's what this series is about. We're all broken. My brokenness is different than yours. I almost thought about, you know what? I'm going to bring a bunch of pencils here and give you guys all pencils and let's say we're going to break them. Because we're all broken. You can't put them back together. Even if you do the some scotch tape, we'll put some tape around it. See, we'll try to fix it ourselves. But see, we need God and His grace to step in. And in order for that to work, we're going to have to admit it. But we're good at denial. Am I right? We're good at pretending. We're good at faking it. Faking it till you make it, right? But the problem is, you ain't making it. Look what's going on. It's happening. Look at what it says here, Proverbs 28:13. You will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Confess them and give them up. Then God will show you mercy to you. Isn't that nice? God, I got problems, God. Today's not a good day. Somebody's aggravating, and I'm the instigator. Anybody? And we need to step back and let God work and do His part. Because see, when we're trying to be God, this is not new. All right? It's nothing new, us trying to be God. I mean, it goes back to the Garden of Eden. What did Satan promise Adam and Eve? Now, think about this. Satan shows up in the garden. God says, hey, this garden is yours. Everything is yours. I think this is, think about this. God says, this whole world is yours. Just one thing. One thing. I can't even do one thing right. God said, everything is open, but one thing. One. Not ten. One. You know, the first commandment was one, not ten. And God says, here, you know. And Satan comes along and says, don't you want to be a God? Don't you want to run your own life? Don't you want to make your own decisions? You'll be like God if you eat this nice, shiny, look at this. I'm not going to say apple because I don't know what it was. You know? And you'd be like God. And what's interesting, Satan didn't say, hey, eat this apple and be like me. He says, eat this and be like God. See, we think we got life, and we got to humble ourselves. And let God be God. Because I got news for you. You ain't God. Okay? You hear me joke around. I'm practically perfect. And like I said, I got that banter with my daughter about being perfect. Everybody knows Gary ain't perfect, okay? There's no pretending there. There's no make-believe there. But I sure like to say it. And in the garden, after all that happened, guess what he did? Guess what they did? They took the tree, they ate of that tree, sewed some leaves together to cover themselves, and then they heard God walking in the garden, and what did they do? They hid. God says, where are you? And Adam said, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. So I'm going to begin this message this morning with you. What are you hiding? What are you hiding? What are you pretending? Well, it's not an issue. It's not a big deal. It's not that much. It's really. So what are we hiding today? What is it that you're just kind of pretending? We're all broken, okay? We're just broken differently. Like I said, I make no bones, and you know, I can be a jerk. And one of the things this week, I was listening to one of the podcasts I listened to, and it made me think about this, because I can be sarcastic, okay? You know, I it's like, wait a minute, that's a problem. You know, and I was listening to this guy talk about sarcasm, how it could be an issue, and it's like, Gary, you better slow down a little bit and think about it. And so I just realized that this week. You know, now I know my problem with driving. I figured this out a long time ago. My problem with driving that causes my anger, you know what the essence of that problem is? Pride. Because I'm a better driver than 99% of the people out there. All right? The problem's pride. The problem's not my driving. The problem is all these other idiots on the road because Gary's better than them. Do I have a problem? Do I have an issue? Do I have a battle? Even when I admit it, Laura and I were talking, I got to turn the Christian music on. We listen to Caleb. Come on, Gary. You know, I got to fight this battle. But I got to admit it. I don't want to listen to that music. I like big band music. Jazz. Swing, yeah. Christian music, yeah. Get to hear that every Sunday. See, we got to admit this. So I'm going to ask you, what are you hiding from today? Think about it. What are you hiding? Because once that's just the first. I got to admit I have a problem. And here's the second one I put. To be poor in spirit means to humbly ask God for help. I got to ask God for help. I'm not God, so I need a God. We all have a God. I'm going to tell you, everybody has a God. Everybody has a God. Listen to me. Everybody has a God. It might be work. It might be money. It might be a relationship. It might be possessions. I don't know, but everybody's got a God. I always remember one of my classes when I was in school, and I liked the book. It's ultimate, whatever has your ultimate concern is your God. Whatever has ultimate concern in your life, that's your God. So what I'm saying is you got to admit you have an issue, and then you got to go to God, the one God. No other God exists but God and Him alone. And so you got to go and ask God for help. Listen to what it says here. We felt we were doomed to die and saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. Anybody on that position right now? You just feel you're trapped, you're doomed, you're pinned in, life's not fair, stress, anxiety, depression, finances, whatever it is, it's just, and you feel pissed and there's nothing you can do and you feel like you're going to die, you're doomed to die. But that was good, for then we put everything into the hands of God. Everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us, for He can raise the dead. Get that picture? He's saying, I need help, and I'm going to go to God who can raise the dead. Think about this. If God can raise the dead, can He raise a dead marriage? If God can raise the dead, can He raise a dead dream? Think about that. If God is dead, if God can raise the dead, can He raise your finances that are dying? Anybody? You know, if God can take a crucifixion and turn it into a resurrection, what can He do? We need to see this in our lives, and we need to understand this. And I want you to circle a word there in that paragraph, that verse. I want you to go back up there and circle that word, everything. Everything. What does everything include? What does everything include? What does everything include? What does everything include? Stress? Depression? Anxiety? Finances? Broken relationships? Health? Anger? That one's mine. Lack of patience? Yeah, there you go, another one. Get poking at me, God. You know that God pokes at you sometimes? Anybody? Don't be a preacher if you don't like God poking at you. Don't be a preacher, because He's going to poke at you. Like, yeah, preach to yourself here. Thanks, God. I don't like that. Can we talk about something else? Because I got to admit it. And then I got to ask God for help. God, what do you want to do? God, how can I do this? God does miracles, and everything is possible with God. All right? But you got to ask. You got to ask God for help. I give people a bad time. Somebody, Laura's family, a call, her mom or her sister calls, and the phone rings. I pick up the phone, and they go, is Laura there? And I go, yes. Yeah, she's sitting right there. She's here. Oh, can we talk to her? Yeah, you didn't ask that. You just asked if Laura was home. All right, here, Laura's for you. Yeah. God wants us to ask. Because here's the thing. If you don't ask God for it, you don't know who gave it to you. Because I worked hard. And I deserve it. Right? Because I worked at it. And so God wants us to ask, because that tells us who gives it to us. That tells us who our provider is. Ask, you should be given. Seek, and you should find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. You have not because you do not ask. When you ask for the wrong reasons. I mean, you know. God wants us to ask. We can ask for anything. You know? Philippians, he has asked for anything because he has a cattle on 1,000 hills. Think about that. And we need to see that. So ask God for help. Everything. Whatever it is. Then the last one here, I put it this way. Now this is the hard one. Now those, you think those are hard? Wait till I tell you this one, all right? Because those are, well, they're hard, but not like this. To be poor, I humbly accept help from other people. You know what? It's okay to tell God I got problems, but I'm not going to tell you my problems. Anybody? I'm going to tell God what I'm struggling with, but I'm not going to tell you guys what I'm struggling with. See, I'm going to pretend I'm okay. I'm the preacher. I got to look good. If I don't set a good example, my problem is I set too many bad examples. But see, we got to have others with us. I'm going to tell you something. God created us for relationship with others. Jesus said it really, really well. I want to make sure I love God. This is what's amazing to me. God in the garden says one thing. Just do this one thing. That's it. One thing. All this is yours, but just don't mess with that tree. Don't eat from that tree. That's just one thing. They messed it all up. We're all messed up. So now there's 10. All right. There's 10. We call them the 10 commandments, right? I'm not going to read them off. I do have them memorized. Ha ha. You know? Only because I break them, okay? All right. So he gave us 10. The rabbis didn't feel that was good enough, so they had to help God out, made 613. Jesus comes along and says, listen, let me get it real simple. Let's get it down to 2. Lord thy God, with all thy heart, all thy might, and all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Matter of fact, I'll make it 1 for you. Love. Okay? That's it. See, we're created for relationship. You are not going to get healthy by yourself. You will not get well by yourself. And when I'm talking about hiding, I'm not just talking about hiding it from God. We hide it from one another. We don't want others to find out what our battles are. We don't want others to know where our struggles are. We don't want them to know because, well, it's fearful. Anybody, you know? See, the problem when you hide something, then you got to worry about somebody finding out, right? You tell a lie, and then you're worried about them figuring out the lie, right? Come on. You know? And we do this in life, but we need to be willing to be open. Now, I'm going to tell you, you don't have to be open to everybody. Here's what it says here. 2 people are better than 1, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can out and help. That someone who falls alone is really in trouble. See, we need the people we're walking through. Now, you heard me in this church. I've said this many times. I'm going to say it as long as I'm here. You need 3 things. You need a church. You need a small group, 8, 10, 6, 12 people that you're journeying with and studying God's word with. They call that a small group in our church, a home group in our church. And you need somebody who can look you in the eye and tell you you're being a jerk. Somebody you can share, you know. Now, just so you know, I see some hands go up. I got a lot of people telling, you know, and that's because you're the preacher, you know. Am I right there? Everybody's going to, you know. And, you know, just so you know, I got enough flaws that everyone, you could bring something different. You know? Because I do have issues. Because I'm broken. But we got to be willing to share. I'm going to ask you, who's that person in your life that you share with? You got to have somebody. You will be healthy if you hide and conceal and pretend like you're well and you don't have somebody you can talk to. Now, I'm one who believes in counselors, okay? I'm one that, you know, I believe we had a young lady here that was a counselor, and we have people, and I would encourage you, go see her. She's awesome, and one that can help you walk through some problems and some issues. We all need those times. I've had my time. Yeah. But if you don't want to pay somebody, get a good friend. Yeah, get a friend. If you sit down and you're talking to someone, let me give you a little hint here. If you're sitting down and you open up and say, you know, I got this struggle. My child, my daughter, my son, you know, they're really being a pain right now. They're making bad decisions. And you sit down and you share that with somebody and somebody says, oh, okay. And they start talking about something else. That ain't one you want to share with, okay? You sit down, you're saying that with someone, they go, well, here, let me help you fix it. That ain't one you want to share it with. But you got somebody, you're sharing your heartache, and you're sharing those struggles, and you're sharing that burden. That person goes, you know, I don't understand that. Let me pray for you. You know, I don't understand, but you know what? I'm going to be here for you as we go through this. Does that make sense? You need that person in your life. So I'm going to ask you, who's in your life? Who are you allowing to speak into your life? You will not get well without it. All right? You just won't. You have to have somebody who can help you. Here's what it says in James. We just did this. Listen to what it says. Admit your faults to one another. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayers of a righteous man has great power and wonderful results. There's a healing process. We confess to God for forgiveness. Confess to one another for healing. Does that make sense? You don't have to tell everybody. Don't tell a gossip, okay? Make sure it's not a gossip. But find somebody you can share. Find somebody you can talk with. Find somebody you... And I'm going to tell you why it's the hardest one, because we don't want to do it. I got three reasons why on the next page. Let me get these real quick here. Three reasons why. Why we don't like sharing with other people. The first one is the fear of your own emotions. They're going to think I'm crazy. I'm going to cry. I'm broken. They're not going to think as much of me. So emotions run wild, and you know, and they're going to point. You know, they're not going to accept me, and they're and that kind of brings me to the next one: the fear of rejection. Well, you're not a very good Christian if you're battling that. Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, you're battling something, you're on the right path because you're in the battle. Okay? You hear me? If you're fighting it and not just rolling with it, then you're all right. Yeah. And then the last one is, Don, is the fear that being honest is useless. It's not going to help. It's not going to make any difference. Nobody cares. Anybody feel that one? Nobody cares. Anybody ever say that? Nobody cares. See, we need to be open to others, to let somebody walk with us through life. So I'm serious. Who are you walking through life with right now? You got to have somebody. Because you're not going to make it by yourself. So who is that person? But here's what I want you to know. God has something for you. Because see, God's made a promise. It's a promise for you and for me. It's a promise that was seen in the life of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet of God. Jeremiah was called by God. Living in Israel, had a great life. Things are going well. God says, there's trouble coming, Jeremiah. Here's Jeremiah. Here's what I want you to do. You need to get ready to move. You're going to move to Babylon, and you're going to live over there 70 years. Matter of fact, you're not even going to come back. But here's what he tells Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's what I want you to see this morning. Quit playing God. Quit pretending you have no problems. Quit pretending there's no issues. Admit there's a struggle. Admit there's a battle. Admit something's wrong. And then ask God for help. Ask Him for help. And find someone who can walk with you through these times and be with you, share with you, and be an encouragement and a strength. And God says, I'm going to bless you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will inherit the kingdom. Let's pray. Lord, what a joy it is to know you hear our words and you hear our prayers. You know, as we're bowing and we're praying, I'm going to ask you, what needs it in you? As you look and you're struggling, We're all broken. You know, don't sit there and say, I don't have anything. Be honest. What is it you want to change? I'm going to invite you to take that first step today and admit it. Say, God, I'm battling. Be honest. You want me to pray for you? You shoot your hand up. Just say, pray for me. Pray for me. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of these who willingly say, I'm in a battle. Those whack-a-moles just keep popping up. The stress, the anxiety, the panic, the fear, the anger, the pressure. Lord, whatever it is, just keeps popping up. Lord, I want help for these. Unplug those battles. Step into their life. Turn the crucifixion into the resurrection. Encourage them. Set them free from the struggles, from the pain, from the guilt. Bury that habit. Heal that hurt. Deliver from that hang-up. Lord, move in their lives. You know, as I'm praying, maybe you need to pray right now. Maybe you need to say something to God right now, just where you're at. Do you need God? I want to take that first step. Maybe right now, God, I am battling. Boom, you say it to God, just you, right there. Admit it to God. God, I tried on my own. I'm helpless. I ask you to move in the midst. And God, give me someone who can walk with me. I'm tired of being alone. I'm tired of fighting by myself. Give me someone to walk with. Lord, thank you for prayer, that you hear our words, you know our hearts, for we come before you a gracious God. In Jesus' name, amen.